Please be seated. I'm going to take this opportunity just for a second to let you know why Denny is going to be presenting this message today before we read about understanding God's Word. He and I are going, I finished, but he is now going through the Certified Lay Ministry program. And one of the requirements is to preach a sermon to his congregation. So I did it, and I was scared to death. So I'm sure he's a little bit frightened too, but we're a wonderfully generous group, so I'm sure you'll enjoy his message. But read with me the prayer for understanding God's Word. By the power of your Spirit, speak your word to us, O God. Show us who you are and who you are calling us to be. For the sake of your Son and our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Now, if you can't hear me, raise your hand or whistle, or, you know, I've been told that I'm not using this mic correctly, but I also am told I can. So let's see if we can get through this together. As the bulletin said, this is from Mark 5, 21 through 43. Mark has a way of describing the wonders of Jesus and joy, and gives us small parables and lessons of what he has learned. This is one of those. Jesus crossed the lake again, and on the other side a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Jairus, one of the synagogue leaders, came forward. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded with him, "My daughter is about to die. Please come and place your hands on her so she can be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A swarm of people were following Jesus, crowding in on him. A woman who was there, who had been bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a lot under the care of many doctors and spent everything she had without getting any better. In fact, she had gotten worse. Because she had heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his clothes. She was thinking, she was healed. Her bleeding stopped immediately, and she sensed in her body that her illness had been healed. At that very moment, Jesus recognized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said to him, "Don't you see the crowd pressing against you? Yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus looked around carefully to see who had done it. The woman, full of fear and trembling, came forward. Knowing what had happened to her, she fell down in front of Jesus and told him the whole story. He responded, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace, healed from your disease." While Jesus was still speaking with her, messengers came from the synagogue's leader's house saying to Jairus, "Your daughter has died. Why bother the teacher any longer?" But Jesus overheard their report and said to the synagogue leader, "Don't be afraid. Just keep trusting." He didn't allow anyone to follow him except Peter, James, and John, James's brother. They came to the synagogue leader's house, and he saw a commotion, with people crying and wailing loudly. He went and said to them, "What's all this commotion and crying about? The child isn't dead. She's only sleeping." They laughed at him, but he threw them all out of the house. Then, taking his child's parents and his disciples with him, he went to the room where the child was. Taking her hand, he said to her, "Talitha kohum," in Aramaic, which means, "Young woman, get up." Suddenly the young woman got up and began to walk around. She was but 12 years old. They were shocked. He gave them strict orders that no one should know what had happened. Then he told them to give her something to eat. These are the words from Mark as he's talking about Jesus, that in just one of his stories in Mark, It's become, I've read it so often now, it's become one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Let me start again with a small prayer. Lord, blessings on our journey today. Open up our hearts to your word. Open our ears and eyes to see and understand what you are saying to us. Thank you, Jesus, for you are the word of God. Amen. I'm not a betting man, but I believe we have people in church today who could relate to two life trials and these two life trials and hopeful endings. I know we have heard two in this scripture, and a third will be heard in just a little bit. I also believe most of us were young once and still have fond memories of our youth. During that youth, maybe we were aware of situations like this when faith in Jesus would have made a critical element in our lives. Our scripture today refers to two acts of faith: a long-suffering woman restored to good health and social responsibility, and a young girl brought back to life. Our Bible verse speaks about a driven, ill woman who has tried conventional doctors and their medicine with no real results for 12 years. We are led to believe she is so desperate for a cure, she pins her only hope on just touches Jesus' clothing, hoping for a cure, finally. She succeeds, and Jesus acknowledges her new social status, but more importantly states, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace, healed from your disease." The synagogue leader Jairus also demonstrated faith in Jesus, even when he was told his daughter had died. Jesus spoke to him and said, "Don't be afraid. Just keep trusting." We now know the results of that trust. One of the strongest affirmations of faith is that in life and death, we belong to God. Through my recent Bible study, I learned that faith can also be translated to the words believe and trust, as indicated in our scripture today. Our third story is about the power of faith in my family. When I was stationed in Vietnam, I viewed the end results of children who were used as weapons, tortured, and or killed to convince Vietnam families to support the Viet Cong. I knew we were in undeclared war, but until I was there, I pictured war as men and machines, not needless maiming and death to children. At that time, I had not been to church for a long time. When I came back from Vietnam, I was stationed in San Antonio, Texas. There, I met a lovely Southern lady, fell in love, and married. Later, when we decided it was time to start a family, we had a little problem with conception. But after a couple years, we discovered we were pregnant. Well, you know how that goes. You had kids. My wife was a very religious person, so we prayed for a healthy child. We both prayed on the way to the hospital when it's time for delivery. The delivery room was a little bit different. It was on the sixth floor of a hospital. After the doctor checked my wife's progress, he went down to the third floor, which had a balcony, to have a smoke. Doctors, you know, smoking just doesn't go together. After he was on the third floor, his nurse called and said his patient was trying to deliver. The elevator was blocked on the fourth floor. When he did get to the delivery room, she was still trying to deliver, but the placenta was coming first. It was estimated our little girl was without oxygen for 4 minutes or more. We were told that brain damage could not be determined until she went to school. Before we left the hospital, we consulted a team of doctors to ensure our child was safe to take home. We were told by a specialist that our daughter had malformed legs. Their suggestion at the time was, at her age, was to break both of her legs, put them in a constructive cast, monitor growth, and she hopefully would be fine. More faith. They said if her legs were corrected, she would be a little pigeon-toed but would walk normal. we continued praying for our curly blonde-headed girl. What was ironic about this time is that I had a suffering child and did not understand how God could inflict so much pain to my children. My Southern wife worked hard to convince me I was not a hopeless case. If I could join her to ask God for help for our daughter twice, there might be a chance for me. You know, these Southern women. She mentioned God had worked miracles in much worse cases. Slowly as my daughter improved, so did her dad. I'm proud to say my tall, blonde daughter is an RN and as of late is trying her hand at being a science teacher. She married a doctor and they have two beautiful children. My blonde daughter continues the strong faith her mother enjoyed until her mother's death several years ago. By the way, she did qualify for cross-country running at her high school and went to state finals. So pigeon-toed, you know, it does work. For those of you who don't know me, I am honored and very humbled to be available as your grief and loss facilitator for our church family and others outside the church. I am one of the three members of our church family who recently completed worship training and commissioning by Stephen's ministers. Sandy and Tom, who's walking back there, are the other two church members. The three of us look forward working with Pastor Jen and her church and the Yuma community. Thank you.